the recording.
Sure, certainly. I'll go ahead and start the recording now. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to the At-Large Capacity Building Program 2016, our sixth webinar of 2016 on the topic CCTLD Managers and Registrars, what is the impact of new GTLDs on the CCTLDs registration and growth, held on Wednesday, 15th of June 2016 at 1300 UTC. We'll not be doing a roll call as it's a webinar, but if I could please remind all participants on the phone bridge as well as computers to mute your speakers and microphones, as well as state your name when speaking, not only for the transcript purposes, but to allow our interpreters to identify you on the other language channels. We have English, Spanish, and French interpretations. Thank you for joining. I'll now turn it back over to our moderator, Tijani Benjima, the Chair of Capacity Building Working Group. Thank you very much, Tijani. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Yeshim. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the sixth webinar and the at-large Capacity Building Working Group series of webinars for the first semester of 2016. Today, we will address the topic of the impact of the new GTLDs on the CCTLDs registration and growth. And if you want to know more from the CCTLD managers and the registrars about this issue. Our speakers today are Edmond Chong, who is one of our community, he used to be in the ALAC, and he's still working with us. He's, I think, the CEO of .Asia. And Edmond will start by making his presentation. But before doing that, I will give the floor to Yeshim for some housekeeping. Yeshim.
Thank you very much, Tijani. This is Yeshim speaking. Let's take a quick look at this housekeeping presentation now currently displaying on the screen. We'll have a question and answer post during the webinar. If you have any questions, we do encourage you to type them in the question and answer post, and staff will note your questions, and they will be answered by the presenters. We also have a pop quiz section, and we'll have four questions after the speaker's presentation. Please be ready to answer the questions posted in the poll post. And finally, we'll have a user experience part. There will be a seven-question survey at the end of the webinar. Please try to stay around for 2-3 minutes to complete them. And let me switch to the next slide. So you can see that the question and answer poll will be on the bottom left side of the AC room. And the pop quiz and evaluation questions will be displayed on the middle right hand of the AC room. Over to you, Tijani. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Yeshim, for this housekeeping announcement. And now the floor is yours, Edmund.
Thank you, Tijani. Welcome, everyone, to the webinar. As Tijani mentioned, we'll talk a little bit about the impact on on CCTLDs in terms of the launch of new GTLDs. Fortunately, Andre is not with us yet. I was hoping that he would kickstart the discussion with a more of a quantitative aspect, and I was going to focus a little bit more on the qualitative aspect. But in any case, I'll get started. So just in terms of, this is just two slides that will talk a little bit about numbers in terms of the direct impact. The general growth of domain registration since the new GTLDs has been positive. As you can see from the chart, actually in the last year or so, the number of new registrations coming in from new GTLDs have reached about 20 million, a little bit more than 20 million new names. So it is a reasonably significant number, considering that the total number of domains registered around the world is about 300 million. That represents close to 10% mark, which is a reason for us to see that there is interest in the new GTLDs. What is interesting, though, is if you look at the new GTLDs, most of the top 10 is coming from what is called ASCII TLDs, which is alphanumeric TLDs. But there is actually one which is standing at number 10, which is an IDN from China. But that is not to say that actually part of the top 10, actually three or four of them are actually based in China and in Asia, and a lot of registrations are coming from Asia. So this is one theme I think that is very interesting, especially coming from .Asia, and as I explained, actually much of the what I want to talk about is as a comparison with the .Asia experience. So and that will remain come back to as a recurring theme. So building on that, actually, if you look at the distribution among registrars, you would see that the top out of the top 10 registrars by volume for new GTLDs, this is registering new GTLDs, actually 6 out of the top 10 that's is actually coming from Asia, and the majority of it is China and then India and Japan. These represent a few of the bigger areas where new GTLDs are being adopted. And if you look at the percentage, actually, the percentage of the volume in terms of new GTLDs registered is actually coming about half of which is coming, or at least half of which, some statistics have it a little bit further as well, coming from Asia and especially from China, India, and Japan, as I mentioned. So this is a very rough idea of what's the numerics of which. But I started the presentation, I was hoping that Andreas would cover a little bit more, because I understand that they actually do more of that study. But I'll move quickly to some of the observations really from .Asia and how we're seeing. If you look at it in comparison with ccTLDs, for example, .cn or .jp or .tw or a number of especially Asian ccTLDs, there is no observed impact, especially negative impact, on the registration numbers. So with all the growth from new GTLDs, it doesn't mean it's taking away registrations from ccTLDs. The growth rate is that shrinking. Some of the TLDs have expressed some concerns when new GTLDs are launched, but right after the launch period, usually new creates return to a steady state, and overall, the growth rate is still relatively stable, especially when you look at, some powerhouses like .cn. In fact, there is an observed growth in alongside new GTLDs and new GTLD registrations as well. But if you look at more stable powerhouses, I would say, like .jp or .au, they remain relatively stable. So I don't have the exact numbers here, but it's quite easy to take a quick look at the statistics that .jp or .au or .cn offers, and you would be able to see that the development is relatively stable and the new GTLDs has not really, at least not have a negative impact. What that really means is a grow growing, a net growth of the domain marketplace, and also a very interesting development in terms of what the market itself is actually absorbing. And now I turn to some qualitative observations, really, and what actually changed. So even though saying that the numbers or the domain registrations and trends remain relatively stable as new gTLDs are introduced, the market dynamics have changed significantly. That is our observation. And here are four areas that we at .Asia has kind of consolidated into in terms of the most significant changes in the domain name market space as new gTLDs are being introduced. The registrar shelf space and storefront evolution, how registrars actually place the products and offer the products, TLD products for sale, that has changed significantly. How registrars do promotion and the attention span that registrars can give each particular TLD, that has changed. In the past, there were just about 20 gTLDs and about 200 ccTLDs, but today we're looking at over 1,000 gTLDs, and if you just calculate the number of days in the year, it's easy to understand that particular dynamic. And then an area is about registrar accreditations. Many more resellers or agents, because of the new gTLD market, are becoming registrars, and that allows the registry, or in this case, kind of like the producer, to have better connection with the market and better connection with the registrants, tighter relationship with it rather than multiple layers. And that has led to the fourth area, which is the registry engagement in actual marketing programs, the type of marketing programs that registries are now engaged in. And I'll go into each of these points separately as well. So in terms of the registrar shelf space, one of the most marked changes is before the new gTLD program, a lot of the registrars have drop-down boxes or check boxes for top-level domains or domains that or registries for that those products that are for sale. That is because the list is relatively defined and doesn't change so much over time, and also it's a reasonable control a small list. That has changed because, as I mentioned, there's over 1,000 new gTLDs, at least a few hundred that is offered for open registration. That has led to much more of a search bar approach. So rather than type the name that you want and pick the TLD, it's no longer that user experience. The registrant experience is much more type the name that you think you want or type the keywords of the name you think you want, and then the TLDs will be supplied to you based on the registrar's suggestion, or if you type the TLD in, of course, as part of the search. Another interesting development is beyond the drop-down boxes and check boxes for TLDs, TLDs are now being grouped into categories by geographic region and by the type, by profession, and sometimes also by trending keywords. And that's a very interesting development in terms of how the registrant experiences the whole process of domain registration. And that's one of the things that is very interesting to observe as well as the registrar storefront and shelf space evolve. And this has impact not just on the first entry of the domain for registration, but also whether it's available and whether there are additional suggestions of alternative domains if that particular name is not available. So that whole process is now quite much more elaborate than previous. A lot of additional big data development is happening. Keyword trends are being used to provide suggestions relevance of TLDs based on the keywords that is being submitted is also being evaluated before the registrar suggests the TLD or the domain to be registered. So that area has gone through a significant change. And that leads to also, as I have already mentioned, the advertising or the promotion of TLDs integrated very much into the search results of domain availability check. Not only the different TLDs, but also the keywords representing the relevance between the TLDs is being used. The other thing, as I mentioned also earlier, is the time span, the attention span that registrars can afford for each particular TLD. In the past, where registrars may be able to work with ccTLDs or gTLDs in a much closer fashion in a longer period of time, 2 months, 3 months promotion periods, or even half a year promotion periods, that is becoming less and less of a situation. It may be a two-week window. If it works, it rolls on. If it doesn't work, another TLD comes in as a promotion. And that is a very different and much more dynamic marketplace that we have seen in the past. So this is these are some of the things that are being is changing over time. Another part that is significantly changing in the last few years as new gTLDs are launched is the number of accredited registrars. And we observe it kind of firsthand at .Asia. Just a few years ago, we were standing at about 150 accredited registrars for .Asia. In the last few years, it has grown to 250. That's running upon. We're not through 2016 yet, but we're looking at probably doubling that amount in this year in terms of number of registrars. And the impact of that is that many of these newly accredited registrars used to be resellers of registrars, which the registry doesn't touch directly and isn't able to provide directly promotion materials, promotion programs, but that has changed, and that is also going to be a similar, we expect that to be a similar situation for ccTLDs as well. Another interesting development, which is tied in with some of the statistics that I mentioned, is the growth from Asia. And again, I turn to the .Asia experience here. From the last few years, we're seeing a significant growth from all around Asia, and of course China and India leading the way in terms of volume just because of the sheer size, but also Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, Vietnam, and some of these developing regions is picking up speed. And we believe this is part of the fundamentals of a domain registration, which essentially are small, medium-sized businesses looking to get online. And this is, and just for example, taking India as an example, there are more than 10 million small, medium-sized businesses, whereas only about 500,000 has their own website. That represents a lot of interest to new gTLDs and also ccTLDs for that matter. And now, one of the core areas that we have observed in terms of the change in behavior or the impact of how registries actually behave or act in the marketplace is how registries engage in more direct marketing programs. And some of these are actually, again, firsthand experience from .Asia. When we first launched, we pioneered a number of these programs, which at that time seemed to be a little bit crazy. Some of the our predecessors would say, why would you even think of trying to get a celebrity to use a .Asia domain? How does that help the domain registration volume? But that has proven to be something that many more new gTLDs are looking to try, and that is becoming a trend. And not only celebrities, but also pioneer new uses, pioneering usage of domains, having foundational usage of the new TLD, are programs that are very important for establishing the actual use of the new gTLD. And we're seeing that being used by more and more TLDs. And that is some of the programs like the Pioneer Domains program I mentioned, like working with celebrities, .asia, for example. When we've launched, we worked with Jackie Chan, we worked with Donnie Yen and some of the celebrities. We continue to support the Asian Film Awards to connect with the celebrities because they are influencers in the marketplace, and that's also a very important part that new gTLDs in terms of marketing program is adopting. So .club, many other new gTLDs are using these type of strategies, live featuring live domains. .asia has been very good at featuring some case studies like Corona when they used Corona.asia, like Johnny Walker when they launched a regional campaign on KeepWalking.asia. We feature and highlight those, and that is some of the things that new gTLDs have done. And I think this is going to trickle down to other registries as well, especially growing CCTLDs. These are strategies that conventionally the TLDs have not been utilizing, but in the future we can see that more and more TLDs will start to use. And that really brings down to the kind of positioning, the market positioning, and how the market sees the value of a TLD. .asia, when we started and as we go through, has been very keen on focusing on that at the value proposition, whereas in the past when .com or others much more generic extensions have usually depended on the registrar channel for very generic pushing of the name. Right now, more and more registries are positioning the value proposition much more closely. Another very interesting development, especially in the last year or so, is the use of mascots. .asia, we also pioneered, here's Ajitora, our tiger, but also recently .club, the little monkey, .shin, with the little guy, and of course earlier .co with their pig, flying pig. And one of the observations is that because the top-level domain often is very much an intangible product, sometimes having a mascot will help. And what is interesting to observe also, I have this in the middle, is to see ICANN going cute as well, looking at the ICANN Helsinki Policy Forum, deciding to use a few nice, cute little icon characters. And that seems to also be part of the direction of the domain industry as well, going younger and going into startup and more exciting and fun area of the marketplace, more in the consumer marketplace, if you will. And just not really sidetracking, but just highlighting a little bit our own Ajitora. He's actually representing .asia, of course, but also representing a cause for sustainable development and the doubling of wild tigers, in fact, tiger conservation. And what people may know that tigers are being endangered, what people probably didn't know is that the Internet has become the number one threat to wild tigers and many wildlife because most of the illegal trade is happening online, people paying through Bitcoin and having a few clicks and then the wildlife product sent to the doorstep. And this is one of the areas where we are contributing to in terms of supporting the policy and the technology to stop that. But that also ties into the .Asia branding, and this is also part of the mascot or the character, PR character idea, which all, some of the other registries are adopting. So Jihir is, of course, running around, going to different events and going through to different areas to promote .Asia and his cause, but much more importantly, sustainable development. And the sustainable development area actually ties quite nicely into new GTLDs. And the reason why is especially on the provision of choice and providing the especially on IDNs, multilingual and multicultural community that the SDG or the Sustainable Development Goals from the United Nations is about. And that's what Aji is about. And in fact, Aji has been going to the ICANN meetings, especially on the UASG. And this brings me to the last item that I think is very important as in terms of the impact of new GTLDs, and that is what we call universal acceptance. Because this is an area where new GTLDs create an issue, but also create an impact to us all. And the issue of universal acceptance is not just about internationalized domain names or Chinese or Japanese or Korean domain names, but also about different new extensions that are being introduced to accept, validate, store, process, and display them properly across all applications. Some of the databases, some of the web applications may choke on new top-level domains, especially internationalized domain names. And this is an issue that we are all a part of, especially because the future is not just about English domain names, but also about the different languages as well. And most importantly is how these new TLDs or how these domains are being used. Some people question whether IDNs or different language domain names are actually being used. It has been introduced into the Internet for almost over 10 years. Yes, today still we don't see a lot of people typing in IDNs or multilingual domain names, but when you think about search, in fact, everyone searches, you know, in China, in Japan, in Korea. I would hardly think that anybody searches in English. Everyone searches in their own native language, and that has an impact on domain names as domain names are being used for search engine optimization, and that is going to be an important aspect of new GTLDs as well. And again, when we talk about IDNs, we can't miss one of the aspects, which is mobile and the audio input, especially voice input. People say that the regular internet users are comfortable typing in English alphanumeric domain names, but when you're speaking to your phone, hardly if you're Chinese or you're Japanese or if you're speaking Arabic, you would hardly think of speaking to your phone in English or spelling out a domain name in English rather than speaking in your own native language. And speaking about mobile, some people say that domain names overall is no longer relevant as new GTLDs introduced. Apps are really taking over the usage of navigation. But truly, how many apps are you going to be able to put in one phone? 50, 500, let's say 1,000 apps. But there are many more companies or services than 1,000 or 5,000 apps can provide. So domain names still provide a direct navigation, especially when you put apps and HTML5 and some of the emerging technologies together. You would see that every app, in fact, behind every app is a domain name. So that's one of the areas that as we go look at new GTLDs, another aspect for that is important for ccTLDs is also the changing landscape and the changing applications for domain names. One of which I think I'm especially excited about is the Internet of Things. Here again, when you name somebody, when you name a company, perhaps an English alphanumeric like IBM or BMW would suffice, but when you're naming your own fridge or when you're naming your own oven, more likely you're going to use your own native language. So, and the relevance for this is not just about new GTLDs. It is relevant also to ccTLDs, especially as new IDN ccTLDs are being introduced. And the most important part is that universal acceptance itself is really about consumer trust, and we're all in this together, ccTLDs and GTLDs, because if we lose the trust of consumers from these new TLDs, it will affect the older TLDs as well. It will affect ccTLDs. It will affect the people, the consumers' trust in the whole domain name system. And this is why universal acceptance and making sure that systems and applications can take in new GTLDs is going to be very important. And so I summarize a few areas, I think four areas, I think that is are going to be four important impact that new GTLDs have made in terms of the domain marketplace. One of which, just to summarize, the shelf space, the promotion attention, the storefront, how people, how registrants interact with registration systems. That's one area. The number of registrar accreditation and the channel expansion, that leads into how registries can connect with more closely with registrants and resellers. And that leads to the third area, which is registries engaging much more intimately into consumer marketing programs and how registries are encouraging new domain applications. And finally, a very important impact is universal acceptance. More and more, this is becoming an issue, and this is an issue that we must work together to solve because it will affect every one of the TLDs together. But ultimately, I think when we talk about new GTLDs or ccTLDs or any type of domain names, it is really more than just a navigational tool or a command line on the Internet today. Domain names are a strategic asset or a strategic value, how your network is built, how the domain names is structured. It needs to be part of the strategy, technically, marketing, and also administratively and legally. The domain name marketplace is much more than just a technology now. And most important of all, it's about identities that connect with people. And I still believe that this is the core value of domain names, and whether it's ccTLDs or new GTLDs or any type of domains, this is what the DNS is about. It's about connecting people with Internet identities. And with that, that closes my presentation. And just as a little bit of note, .Asia, we talked a lot about the market aspects, but we are actually a nonprofit organization, and all the .Asia domain names contributes to Internet development and adoption in Asia, which is our core mandate. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Edmond, for this great presentation. Since Andres didn't join us, I will open the floor for questions. Is there questions for Edmond? Otherwise, I have one. It's not a question, it's more of a remark. Edmond, when .cat for Catalonia was delegated, the registration of .es didn't decrease. At the contrary, they noticed a slight evolution of .ecs. This was for .cat for Catalonia. Is it the same for .asia for the ccTLDs in your region? You said that there is not a negative effect, but is there any effect? Did you remark that there is an evolution in the other direction, for example? Anyone? Have we lost the Imam?
Hi Edmund, this is Hisham speaking. We cannot hear you at the moment. Maybe you are muted.
Did try to unmute. Let me...
Perfect. We can...
Okay, it works.
Refresh this. Hello?
Yep, we can
is this
hear you now, Edmund.
Working now?
Please go ahead. Yes,
okay.
It is.
All right. Thank you, Tijani. I was hoping that Andres would give us a lot more information on a more qualitative analysis, quantitative analysis, sorry, on an anecdotal situation. What we have seen is that there is usually a positive impact on awareness. I think the aspect of introducing what is called introducing competition, but really at this particular stage of new GTLDs, it's hard to say that it is very directly competing with .com, but in terms of awareness, it has helped a lot, both for CCTLDs and for later GTLDs, if you will, like .asia or .cat that you mentioned. And the experience for .asia is similar. All the other CCTLDs are actually growing. And I mentioned a little bit about the new GTLD situation in China. If you've heard about the huge growth, especially in China, since late last year, that has been driven by some of the new GTLD promotion programs. And we are seeing also .cn growing very healthily alongside all that as well. So, so far the anecdotal evidence at least is that it is growing in tandem rather than a cannibalizing product at this time. Hello? I do see Olivier and Alberto stand up, but it's either people are not hearing me or I'm not hearing the room.
Hi, Edmund. This is Ishan speaking. Tijani, you are currently muted, I believe.
Okay, I am sorry. Sorry, I was muted. I was speaking to myself. So thank you, Edmund, for your answer, and I give the floor to Olivier. Olivier, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much, Tijani. Olivier Capanabon speaking. I missed part of the Texamon webinar, and I'm really sad about it. But I did have a couple of questions on these things, which go along the line of the question that was asked just before. First, the effect of the new GTLDs on the current country codes or the previous set of country codes that were there. There are two things. First, there's of course the internationalized domain names which have come out. So you have non-Latin scripts that are now being offered, and I wasn't quite aware of how are the Latin scripts received when you have a country code that is in a non-Latin script, so for example, for China, the .cn would be in a Chinese script, does this fall under as a CCTLD, as a country code top-level domain, or is this seen as a generic top-level domain? And has it affected the sales of the Latin scripts when you're looking at a very targeted audience? That was one. And the second question I had, and I'll ask them both here so Edmund can choose to answer them, is when you have a country code top-level domain registry that then starts engaging in running generic top-level domains, how does it affect their relationship with ICANN, and does it actually affect their relationship in the country code name supporting organization world as well or not? I hope that you've heard it all. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Olivier. Those are very interesting questions indeed. I'll touch on each of them. First of all, you mentioned the G versus CC. I think the IDN CCTLDs are all considered CCTLDs, so .China or .Thailand would be considered a CCTLD under the ICANN context. There is an ongoing work in terms of geographic names, country names, and how that will be dealt with in the future on two fronts. One, right now we have the fast track of IDN CCTLDs, and then we have the policy development process of the IDN CCTLDs, which is almost finished. And then thirdly, we have the country names, the longer country names, which is being considered in a different working group. But at the moment, all the ones that are delegated are considered IDN CCTLDs, as far as I understand. In terms of the, I guess you were asking the market impact of IDN CCTLDs within their local market. That's very interesting. Last I looked at some of the statistics, the IDN version represents about 4% to 10% at most of the volume of domain registration. That's a relatively small numeric amount at this particular point, in terms of percentage amount at this point. And your final, your third question is, I guess, quite interesting in the sense that how it affects the when a CCTLD engages and implements or operates a GTLD, how does that affect the ICANN structure, if you will? In fact, that's to me it touches on a few things. First of all, in terms of the strict direct regulations, whether there are any type of restrictions for the same entity being in different supporting organizations or different constituencies. There is for, I believe, within the GNSO, there is some of the constituencies do have restrictions on whether you are already, the same entity is represented in a different constituency or different stakeholder groups. But if you're talking about across supporting organizations, not to my knowledge is there any restrictions at this point, so the same entity could be in the GNSO, in the CCNSO, and in the ASO. And that leads to a very interesting question for ICANN and the general Internet governance multi-stakeholder approach, which is the blurring of the lines between stakeholder groups in this case. Especially in the case of new GTLDs. As new GTLDs expand and grow, the program is not expected to just stop here in the first round. As we grow, the lines will continue to blur, not only between CCTLDs and GTLDs, but also governments. There are GAC entities that are operating GTLD registries and represented in GNSO. How would that affect the entire ecosystem within ICANN? I think that's something that is probably beyond this particular webinar, but it's definitely something interesting to watch and be participating in.
Thank you, Edmund. Next speaker, next question is from Alberto Soto. Alberto, go ahead.
Alberto Soto speaking. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Do you make any analysis with respect to the new GTLD? I mean, in the analysis you're making, and I'm speaking about one exclusive GTLD, that is .health or .salud in Spanish, we have received lots of information about Interpol operations throughout Europe, I think, and they found out that certain fake medicines were sold, etc., and so on. So lots of deaths are attributable to that. Isn't that a motivation so that we may analyze the impact of that, because a GTLD has not been approved like .health? Thank you very much.
Edmond?
Thank you. Thank you for the question, Alberto. It's a very difficult question, I guess. If I got it correctly from the interpretation, you're talking about some of the TLDs that have a lot of content or information on or malicious activity or citing on unethical activity. It brings me to one of the early days of the Internet when some people say the Internet is only used for porn. Well, you know, maybe the porn industry did help the industry the Internet grow, but as we see it today, we're pretty sure that was, you know, that is just a very short period of time, and whether it even existed is questionable. When we look at some of the problems that come out from new GTLDs, the more I would say that there are a number of reasons for it. One, with the new GTLDs, there's an eagerness to lower the price, and you know that lowers the barrier of entry for more questionable activities. The other is that it's obviously a whole new world for expansion, and yes, you know, the attention would often be put on controversial issues, and it is being amplified a little bit more. But what is more and what is important, I think, is two aspects, one of which is a policy aspect, and I think ICANN and the ICANN community should think more thoroughly about how registries are to monitor and regulate. I hate to use these two words, but there is importance in how we do that and how we go about it in a way not to infringe on privacy and freedom of expression and all those other issues. But if we just say that it's unregulated, it's not really doing the community a service. That's my personal view on that. The other aspect is to look at the real benefits for small, medium-sized businesses, for new applications that are being used with these new GTLDs, and highlight those positive usage as well. I often new technologies come with more spicy, if you will, activities to start off with, but it is important for us to look at the positive benefits that will, I believe, ultimately outweigh the malicious activities in the beginning. But in order to do that, policies need to be concise, and policy need to pinpoint where to strike the balance to provide an environment that the new technologies and new uses can emerge. That's my feeling.
Thank you very much, Edmond. And before giving the floor to Harold, and answering the question of Olivier, you said that CTLD operator that is an accredited register at ICANN is something that may disturb a little bit the structure of ICANN, because in the community those people
with
which
wants to speak. Alberto Soto wants
I will give him the
follow-up.
I finish and I will give him the floor. Sorry for that. So I tell you, Edmond, that ICANN is actually now accrediting registrars that are at the same time operating CCLDs. And as for people being in several stakeholders in ICANN, this is something that it is used today, and it is perhaps a problem that we need to address one day. Thank you. So, Alberto, follow-up question.
Alberto Soto speaking. Thank you very much, Tijani. With respect to what I was talking about, .health, and I will give you an example of a GTLD. It doesn't matter the name, but the regulation, requirement, condition, whatever the name, was used to prevent and to diminish certain malicious activity. .tour, T-U-R, with respect to tourism, those registered with a national organization, I'm talking about local level because it's a national organization at country level, may be able to use this .tour. So there were less malicious activities related to trips that perhaps were not performed. Of course, I know that .health is much more complex than .tour, but it doesn't matter the term we use. I don't like to say regulation. I don't like to use the word condition, but we should implement something like that because the implementation of this GTLD, the delegation of this type of GTLD, will prevent the death of people around the world. Thank you very much.
Edmond, any comment?
Yeah, I think that's a very good observation, and this is a matter of, I think, very important for the next round of new GTLDs when we think about whether there should be certain categories. We have shied away from what we call categories, but the marketplace, I kind of made that emphasis earlier, and the policy space, I think, would require us to take a deeper look into whether we want to, we need to categorize them and provide better policies around them to encourage first positive use. So I think I agree with Alberto. The question is how we actually implement it in the future rounds.
Thank you very much, Harold. You have the floor. Is Harold speaking?
Hi, Tijani. This is Yishim speaking. Our Spanish interpreter says that she cannot hear him either.
We do hear Harold now.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Tijani, and thank you very much, Edmo, for your presentation. In your presentation, you said that there was 123 registrars or something around that figure. Can you please tell me your experience, if you have made any projection of the growth in the market, or if there may be, you have foreseen something more, or if there is any ceiling based on the demand there may be. Is any ceiling for the possible number of registrars? And do you think, or how do you think will be the impact of the GTLD regarding the available registrars so far? And another question. Who would have, or who will be responsible for that market?
Edmund here. Thank you for that question. The accreditation process is actually done by ICANN, and in terms of each registry, in the case of South Asia, for example, then each of the registrars need to be first accredited by ICANN. So for a particular each registry, the ceiling is what the number that the ICANN can accredit in time. In terms of the overall market size, I think right now there are a few thousand registrars at ICANN, but in terms of ceiling, it's hard to describe it that way, I guess. And it depends on the continuing evolving evolution of the marketplace. For one, in this round, we have decoupled the requirement for registry and registrar separation. So some of the registries are also registrars, whereas in the past that was not the case. With that in mind, then, you know, if each of the registries then become its own registrar, then that number can further increase. So I don't think at this point any. Of course, there is a ceiling in terms, and that's regulated by the that's probably determined by the market size of the internet overall. But I'm not sure the motivation of the question. But in terms of the regulation of the accreditation for GTLDs and new GTLDs, of course, that is done by ICANN.
Thank you very much, Edmond. Olivier, you have a new question.
Thanks very much, Tijani. Olivier Capard of Law speaking. And I have another question which is often asked. I often hear it asked by people who register domain names, and then they have a problem when they renew it, or they live in a country where they would like to get a domain name under their local country top-level domain, and then there are restrictions about who can register. Perhaps only corporations are able to register under the local country code, or perhaps the annual cost is prohibitive for locals. And there seems to be some confusion in users as to, and of course we know what the difference is between a generic top-level domain and a country code top-level domain, but there seems to be some confusion, and often the question is, you know, where do I go to? Who do I ask? Because our domain names at home are way too expensive. They are three times the average price out there. Is there any way to help them into understanding this? Or, I don't know. This is a sort of question that is being asked, and it's not a very clear question, but it touches on a number of things. And I wondered if Edmund had any thought about this.
Thank you, Olivier. Certainly, it's a tough question, and it's a very real question for consumers and for registrants or for small mediums like mom and pop business that just want to get online and have a presence online. Right now, I think you touched on actually a few aspects of it, G versus CC, and in the policy space around it. In general, I would say that this is kind of a market activity, and we should leave it a little bit more to the market. So registrars are the ones that would provide the information, and for local registrars, I think that represents an opportunity for taking on new customers. The question then goes to what ICANN or the ICANN community should do, and whether there have been talks about even good registrar seals, for example, or where to go to for information, more definitive information. I think there is only so much that ICANN community can do as in terms of an authoritative aspect for it, but definitely there is space, just a little bit like, but I don't want to confuse the matter, but a little bit like the UASG, the Universal Acceptance Issue, where ICANN can support the effort and have the industry come together and work on the topic itself. Maybe this is something that is interesting to have ICANN put its resources and networks into, but not led by ICANN, but led by the industry and the market to provide relevant information for local registrants, such as which registrars are actually in operating in that area, the choices they have. Of course, there is definitive data at ICANN, but it's not often easy to find and in the most user-friendly way for the mom-and-pop shops. So some more down-to-earth kind of information may be interesting, and how we advocate that out to the consumer and the registrant level. Probably not the direct purview of ICANN, but definitely shouldn't be eliminate from consideration for ICANN to fund or sponsor or be part of a market or industry initiative to build. That would be my answer. I don't know whether it's the right direction that you were asking, but that was what I felt from your question.
Thank you very much, Edmund, for your answer. Is there any other question? I don't see any hand. So perhaps I will give the floor to Yashim to go to the pop quiz. So Yashim.
Tijani?
Tijani, Olivier has just raised his hand.
Olivier, go ahead. Sorry.
Thanks very much, Tijani. It's Olivier Capanoblanc speaking. And I'm sorry, I had another question here. But whilst we have Edmund on the line, I thought I'd ask this as well. He mentioned earlier the concept of universal acceptance. And I noted in the chat that some of the new GTLDs, generic top-level domains, sorry, have been a bit lax in the way that they register things. They might have had some policies that ended up causing spam and malware and so on. But that's just only one segment of it. Obviously, there is the technical side of it when it comes down to having internationalized domain names that would be able to work in browsers. But the third aspect, I guess, of this is the search engine placement. Are these searches with generic top-level domains coming before the searches with country code top-level domains? Is there no difference between them? Is there a precedence with regards to the internationalized domain name as well in general? And I'm well aware that there's more than just one search engine, although most people think that there is just one search engine out there. But in general, with the different search engines out there, what has the reception been like? And is there any work going on there? Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier.
Thank you for the question. I think it's a very, again, very good question and difficult question. Of course, personally, I'm not a expert in search engines, but what I do understand is, the search algorithms change over time, and it's pretty dynamic. What is important for search engines is to try to find the most relevant content for the user when they search for certain keywords. Domain names continue to be used as part of that algorithm because it's much more likely if you register if the name basketball.asia, it would be a little bit about basketball and about in Asia, right? So search engines do depend on the domain name as part of the content, in fact, and that's what is interesting. But going back to in terms of the ranking and everything, I think the bigger emphasis is on the actual content, not the rather than domain name first. But if everything is equal, then the domain provides an advantage. if the domain is relevant to the search term and relevant to the content that is being presented at the particular site. And that goes with the TLD. I think from what I understand, search engines look at them together. They're part of the content and part of names. So that's from what I understand. And your earlier question about spam and technology and universal acceptance, certainly there are challenges with new GTLDs. As mentioned, some of the new GTLDs, especially the investors and commercial open TLDs, sometimes have pressure to have more registrations, and they lower the price, and some of the malicious activities come in at a lower barrier. What is important is the ICANN community be continue to be vigilant on the policies on two areas. Two aspects. One, yes, we want to be protective, but on the other hand, we don't want to be too protective. Sometimes what is considered malicious may actually be a new technology, and IDN and universal acceptance is a good example. Some of the spam filters actually filters out IDN email addresses or internationalized email addresses, thinking that they're somewhat malicious and wants to attack. So sometimes we look at these issues in terms of policy and how we implement it. It's very difficult to draw a bright line on it. And at this point in the development of new GTLDs, I would err towards innovation a little bit more than protection at this time. And I guess that's my personal bias on that.
Thank you very much, Edmund. Any other question? There is an echo. Someone has both telephone and Adobe Connect open. Yashim, can you please make the operator mute? Yes, please. Make the operator mute the source of the echo. Okay, I think it works now. No. Still, there is an echo.
Yes. Seems better, Johnny.
Okay, so Yashim, you have the floor to go to the top piece, please.
Thank you very much, Tijani. This is Yashim speaking. Yes, we do have some pop quiz questions for you. I'll now go ahead and read them. The first question is, how many of the current top 10 new GTLD registrars by volume are based in Asia? Is it 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7? Please catch your words now. Well, we have more votes coming. And Edmund, would you like to tell us the correct answer, please?
Well, based on the NTLD stats that I just looked at this morning, it should be 6.
Thank you very much. The correct answer is D. It's 6. Let's move on to the second question quickly. The second question is, what are some of the new developments in registrar source font shelf space? A, TLD checkboxes, E, TLD categories, or C, TLD dropbox? Please catch your words now. Not receiving any votes. Okay, here they are coming. And Edmund, you would like to give us the correct answer for this one as well?
Edmund,
Sorry, I forgot to unmute. But also, I apologize. I probably didn't write the answers properly for this this question. I should say GTLD categories. Of course, there has always been categories between GTLDs and CCTLDs, but there's less of a categorization of GTLDs into different professions and stuff. That was the original question, but probably I should refine the question rather than saying the original suggestion. The original intent was for B to be the answer, but I can understand why a lot of people put A.
Thank you very
much. Okay, Yashin.
I'll move on to the third question. Third question is there a substantial impact on CCTLD registration numbers as new GTLDs are launched? It's a yes or no question. Please catch your votes now. And the correct answer, Edmund, is?
So no, yeah, that's correct, and that has been quite consistent across the board in terms of the experience.
Thank you very much, Edmund. Let me quickly move on to the next question here. It will be our last pop quiz question. Okay, here you are. What is universal acceptance about? Web accessibility features, internet connectivity and digital divide, accept, validate, store, process and display domain names and email addresses in all applications? Or is it the register, resolve and renew domain names? Please catch your votes now. And the correct answer, Edmund, is?
Yeah, so universal acceptance is the accept, validate, store, process, and display all domains and email addresses properly in applications. So, yeah, I think everyone got it right.
Perfect. Nishani, would you like me to continue with the survey questions, or would you like to take the floor?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Sure. Thank you very much. So our first survey question is, how is the timing of the webinar for you? Too early? Just right? Too late? Please catch your votes now. Thank you very much for your votes. I'll now move on to our second question. The second question is, what region do you live in at the moment? Africa, Asia, Australasia, and Pacific Islands, Europe, Latin America, and Caribbean Islands, or North America? Please catch your votes now. Thank you for your votes. Let's move on to our third question. How many years of experience do you have in the ICANN community? Less than 1 year, 1 to 2 years, 3 to 5, 5 to 10, or more than 5 years? Please catch your votes now. I'll quickly move on to our fourth question. How is the technology used for the webinar? Example is audio, video, homebridge. Please catch your votes from 5 to 1. 5 is very good and 1 is very bad. Please catch your votes now. Thank you very much for your votes. I'll now move on to our fifth question. Did the speaker demonstrate mastery of the topic? Please catch your votes from 5 to 1, 5 is extremely strong, and 1 is extremely weak. Thank you very much for your answer. Our sixth question is, are you satisfied with the webinar? Please catch your votes from 5 to 1, 5 is extremely satisfied and 1 is not satisfied at all. Thank you very much for your answer. I'll now move on to our last question. What topics would you like us to cover for the future webinar? Please type your answer in the blank space and do not forget to click on the icon next to it so we can receive your answer. Please test your answers now.
Thank you very much, Shishim, and for the participants. Leave still this box because we need to do the topics we will address in the future for the second semester of 2016. So if you don't have time now to put it on the Adobe Connect, please send an email to the staff and give the topics that you want us to address in our future webinar. Thank you very much. Okay, so thank you all for participating in this webinar. I would like to thank particularly Edmond Chong who came and made the presentation. Thank you very much, Edmond, and thank you our interpreters, our staff. Thank you all for participating. This webinar is now adjourned. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for your participation. The audio now will be disconnected. Have a lovely rest of the day. Bye-bye.